if they never share maybe where they've been weak, or they never share maybe where they've had struggle at any time in their life, then there's an entire congregation of people that feel like the pastor's perfect and I'm just a broken mess.
Transparency, a topic that's tossed around in various circles, like in the church, but is it really followed? Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Rich, Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin. We're continuing our visit with Kim Rogers, a woman on a quest to faithfully serve God. She talks about a ministry that she felt led to start, called Transparency. She's a graduate of Fuller Theological Seminary, and where we left off was where she was sharing about some of her experiences while she was at Fuller.
How was that for your personal faith in really studying and really getting into the ancient scriptures and looking at church history and looking at theology and apologetics of just being able to really take apart the various books of the Bible and look at the scripture from a different perspective, from a theological perspective? How was that for your personal faith?
Two things happened. Probably in my first year there, my faith took a hit. Because you take this book that you love that's alive and it becomes a textbook. Because you're reading it just to study, or you're reading supplemental texts just to study. And so I had to get through sort of a season where my faith was trying to figure out where it fit, because all the academia in my mind was kind of taking charge in these classes. And my faith was like, hey, don't forget that I'm why you're here, you know. After that, learning the particularly patristic theology, all the early church fathers and how our faith grew and the questions that were asked and wrestled with and answered and the martyrs and everything that my faith got to rest on was so fascinating for me as a believer to see those who had gone before me and those who had wrestled with the things that were said about them. You know, they were called cannibals because they drank the blood of Jesus, or, you know, there were so many things that how they were attacked. But then they came back with all of these answers for their faith, explaining them. And it gave me such a just a nice assurance in my faith that so many battles had been fought for what I just had to come and believe to be there. So even though it was fun for me to dig and find things out myself, there was this cool feeling of confidence in learning about all those who had gone before me and had put out what our faith really meant.
So then you come to the end, you graduate, and then you have the transition. So was there a feeling of, okay, I'm equipped, now what? Or was there some door that just opened right away?
Definitely the first one. I'm equipped, now what? I graduated on my 30th birthday. I was single, and I was like, okay, God, I'm called to serve you. And so I was just kind of helping out at sort of a young adult ministry at a church, and the church that I grew up in wouldn't ordain me because I was a woman. So I wasn't ordained, but I had a Master of Divinity degree. And then about a year after that, I felt the Lord tell me, move back to the Bay Area, start a ministry called Transparency. I want you to call the church to be transparent, to teach them how to be transparent with their weaknesses and be real about where they're at in their lives and then how it will draw people to them. And so about a month after that happened, I told my parents, I'm moving home. God wants me to start this ministry. I met my husband, and he thought that was fantastic. Eventually, I moved to the Bay Area. He moved up. We got married, and then I started a ministry called Transparency here in this room, actually, that met for a couple years. Yeah.
Tell us about this ministry. You had this calling. It sounds like a fantastic goal and desire to be transparent, particularly in the church. Mm-hmm. How was it received and what happened?
And also maybe, why was it necessary?
You know, like I'll say it was God's idea, but I totally agreed with it. Because I think too often preachers and pastors in the pulpit will give a sermon which is great, and they may give illustrations that are great about their life and things, but if they never share maybe where they've been weak, or they never share maybe where they've had struggle at any time in their life, then there's an entire congregation of people that feel like the pastor's perfect and I'm just a broken mess. And I know that everybody, no matter where you are at in ministry, whether you head up a ministry or you're just attending, we all are human and we all fall and we all have places in our lives where we have screwed up or gone the wrong way or made a mistake. And I knew that if more people were willing to talk about those areas, that it would let people in. And so I would challenge people, you need to be a safe place for someone to be authentic and transparent with you, meaning you don't go tell everyone, but you also have to be willing to be transparent so that people that come and hear you know that they can relate to you and know that they can have a relationship with the same God you do, because you aren't perfect either. One of the things I hear the most when someone talks to me after I've shared or taught somewhere is that I'm authentic and genuine and real. And that's how I've always wanted to be. If you come hear me teach, you'll know the places where I made bad decisions. You'll hear all the details about my time in college and how I really was not serving the Lord and was really serving myself. You'll hear all those mistakes and fumbles because that's how God got me here. And I think when we can do that and be transparent, people can kind of come along with us to the Lord. I remember being at a church once and the pastor said, I'm going to share with you my biggest sin. And I was like, oh my gosh, these people are about to be set free because he's going to share something and they're going to be like, he's not perfect. And he went on and talked about something that he did in elementary school on the playground. And I just thought, you just lost an opportunity to connect with all these people who need to desperately know that there's forgiveness and grace for them in their mistakes.
We'll return to our talk with Kim Rogers in just a moment. Now, the name of our program is Connections with Rich and Bobby. If you're enjoying it and you'd like to connect with us, go to Facebook and search for Connections with Rich and Bobby. That's B-O-B-B-I.
And let's become friends. You can also contact us by email at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, that's 1610, Alameda, California, 94501.
Now let's return to our talk with Kim Rogers as she shares about her ministry called Transparency.
You know, one of the things that you touched on is a safe environment. I mean, for somebody to share their deepest sorrows or their sins or their wrongdoing, I mean, it takes a lot. And they want to be sure that, you know, they're not going to be criticized or they're not going to be frowned upon, mm-hmm. and that there truly will be healing behind this and forgiveness. We know that our Lord does, and our Lord provides forgiveness. And it's absolute, but people are different. How is that handled as far as trying to find people to be transparent? Is this a trustworthy environment? Is this a safe place to really share my deepest concerns?
You know, I had a team of people that I had set aside as a prayer team that we met every Sunday night. We had full church with worship and teaching and everything, and then there would always be opportunities for prayer. So I wouldn't get up and hit transparency every time I was up there. I would be transparent and real. But if there was something where I needed the people listening to hear that if you struggle with this, you need to be real about it, and you need to, you know, you can repent or you need to find support, I would direct them to the team that was up there who committed to not speaking everything out. Or we would direct them to lay counseling or something like that. And I was always trying to tell anybody that I was ever teaching that you have to be a safe place for someone to share, that then you don't go and tell everyone about what has happened. Because if the church can't be a safe place, then we aren't going to breed transparency and honesty. Like, how are we supposed to lay hands on one another and pray for one another if nobody's sharing where they're hurting or where they need accountability or support?
So you went through all that. Now we see a ministry called Walk Worthy. Where did Walk Worthy come into play?
I am a firm believer that the choices that we make in our lives, the way that we behave, what comes out of our mouth, those things should demonstrate to the people around us that we love Jesus and that we follow Jesus. And Walk Worthy was kind of birthed out of this idea that God doesn't call us to be perfect, but Jesus has done a lot for us. Jesus has died for us, and I want to walk in a way that's worthy of everything he's done for me. And so I want to live in a way that is loving. I want the things out of my mouth to be pure. I want the things that I let in my eyes be pure. And so it affects what movies I watch. It affects how I talk. It affects the things I do with my life. Because I don't want to look like the world. I want to look like somebody that is a Christian, is a mini Christ. And so I want to live like him. And so Walk Worthy kind of came out of this rallying cry of, hey, church, let's not look like everybody else, and let's not talk like everybody else, and let's not go watch the movies and listen to the music that might have all sorts of obscenity and stuff in it. Let's set our ears apart and our eyes apart and our hearts apart, and let's walk worthy of what he's done for us. And so it kind of came out of that. So I did a website, walkworthy.today, and I blogged a little bit, and I kind of just wanted a presence because people would ask when I was going to teach somewhere. And so I kind of made the website for that. But it's birthed out of this idea that we're called to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, worthy of all that Jesus has done. And so that's what it's for.
You know, the world is a magnet, and there are so many distractions in the world. Wherever we look or don't look, it comes to us. It's there. And trying to walk worthy, to be doers of the word and not mere hearers only. Scripture says, thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, Lord. How is that applying scripture to your heart and to your mind to help one to walk worthy?
I try to think of some of the ones that have impacted my life greatly, like let there be no silly talk or coarse jesting, you know, these words that come out of your mouth. That had a big impact on me with that. I did a study on the narrow road and the wide road, and this word for narrow, it feels like you're like sardines, like you should be uncomfortably crammed into a can. That's the idea. And so when I think about how scripture applies to that for me, it's things like that. Like when I read that scripture, I go, oh, I have to remember that I should actually feel uncomfortable as I'm following Christ. I should feel like I don't have a lot of movement, like maybe somebody in the world who can do whatever they want, that I actually have some boundaries that I have to watch out so that I can walk worthy, so that I can do my best to walk in a manner that is pleasing.
We've been visiting with Kim Rogers, teacher, blogger, and a graduate of Fuller Theological Seminary. If you'd like to find out more about Kim and her work and service for the Lord, just go to walkworthy.today. Again, that's walkworthy.today. I'm sure she'd appreciate your prayers.
Yes. Now, if you've enjoyed this program, we'd love to connect with you on Facebook. Just go to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Also, if you'd like to share your comments, you may email us at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com. That's connect, the number 2, Rich and Bobby, Bobby spelt with an I, @gmail.com.
Or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501. Now, we'll be continuing our talk with Kim Rogers on our next program. She has so much to share, so be sure to tune in.
This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1 verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So, thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word!
And don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.